9:40 on this Thursday morning. This year has been transformational as far as work is concerned. I mean, obviously, people who build things, people who provide services can't work remotely, but an awful lot of us can and have. Slack is a work collaboration software. They found through their research what it is that workers want from their employers when it comes to the future of work. Joining us right now to talk more about that is Vice President of Slack, the head of the Future Forum, the think tank that's putting out this new research called the Remote Employee Experience Index. Brian Elliott with us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Paul.
I feel like a lot of what has happened this year was destined to happen anyway, but COVID-19 was the accelerant that that pushed it all forward.
Absolutely. That's about a lot of what our research is showing us. Basically, what happened is you basically accelerated a lot of development over the past 6 months. You know, this crazy environment that everybody's been in has also helped people, you know, adopt new tools, new technologies, and some better ways to working in some cases. And that's what we've been trying to dig into and find out is what's working and what's not.
So what did your research show? What do people want from work?
The biggest thing people want is flexibility. People don't want to go back to the 9-to-5, 5 days a week in an office work environment. You know, there's about 12% of people in our 9,000-person survey that did. There's about 16% that want to be remote all the time. But what most people want is they want more flexibility. They want to be able to work from home more often to get the benefit of cutting that commute and work-life balance. They also want shared space when they want to come together and kind of recharge, you know, their energy together as a team.
So, I mean, instead of working straight through from 9 till 5 or from 9 until 6 with an hour lunch, it's more like start working when you get up, take a break, take the dog out for a walk, take the kids to the park, come back, do some more work. You might be working till 10 o'clock at night, but in chunks instead of one long, continuous work day.
Yeah, so think about, like, one of the concepts is how do you allow teams to have, like, a chunk of time when they're all, you know, available and together, you know, using a digital product like Slack to help make sure that they're all, you know, connected at the same point in time. But give people more flexibility to figure out, like, I'm a morning person, I'm not an evening person, so let me start my day a little bit earlier because I'm going to be more effective that way. And take a break is a big thing. It came out in our study really clearly. Like, people who take breaks during the day to get away from, you know, walk away from the laptop, walk away from the screen, are much more effective, you know, throughout their days. Their stress levels are down and their productivity goes up.
I feel like the idea of the traditional 9-to-5 workday helps in terms of discipline and managers being able to control how much output they get from their workers. And, you know, it's basically chaining you to a desk for 8 hours to do your work. Is there any fear that workers are going to be less productive in this kind of environment?
Yeah, so two things on that. One, our survey shows, and multiple others have too, that people are actually more productive on average, not less. There are some people who benefit from being in an office environment that are missing that, but for most people, their productivity actually went up. The other thing is, like, you know, the 9-to-5 office-based environment was basically putting people into something that felt like, you know, the early stage of the industrial age where you're trying to measure whether or not people showed up and, you know, are they in at their desk. That's not really a way that you measure output of a team. You know, managers that bring people together and build successful teams because they understand what their mission is and they are focused on outcomes are way more effective. And that's not about measuring attendance or keystrokes or monitoring people. That's about focusing on what's the outcome we want to achieve.
I mentioned the Remote Employee Experience Index. Tell us more about that and how it works.
Sure. So we surveyed 9,000 people around the globe back in the month of July, asked them a whole bunch of questions about what was working for them and what wasn't in terms of, you know, not just their productivity, but their sense of belonging in their team, which is a bit more of a struggle for many, but, you know, better work-life balance, lower stress. And then we're able to also look at it and compare, use it to compare across different groups of people and different, like, policies and practices that companies employ to figure out what's working and what's not and for whom.
And so, again, this research indicates people like working from home or working remotely. It seems to be the trend that's going to be with us for the foreseeable future. What are some of the downsides, though, of remote working?
Yeah, the biggest challenge for a lot of teams is belonging. So the downside around belonging is people feel like it's harder to meet new people, to feel that sense of camaraderie that comes together. There's some things we found that actually help on that front. what helps is finding ways to have, you know, social bonding time as a team, even if it's digitally, you know, virtually through a video conferencing or through Slack, and sharing, you know, gifts with each other and emojis and having a digital water cooler, if you will. That type of thing helps a lot. We also found what that didn't. Yet another status meeting actually degrades team belonging. So back to your managers, like managers that are focused on measuring, you know, whether or not people are showing up and output, they call yet another status meeting. It actually makes that sense of belonging worse.
Yeah, that's interesting. What about managers and executives, you know, higher echelon employers? How is this working out for them? Are they finding new challenges?
Yeah, so middle managers are the ones that are definitely the most challenged. You know, senior executives do better on average in our survey. Individual contributors, people on teams, do better. If you think about it, both those groups probably kind of have their own networks, right? If I'm a member of a team, I've got team identity. If I'm a senior executive, I've probably got a network. Middle managers, you know, feel very squeezed. And in some ways, they feel squeezed even by that, you know, how do I know what's going on in my team sense of it? So one of the things that we found is, you know, middle managers being the most challenged are the ones that then tend to do things like, let's call it status meeting, which makes things worse for their team. So a lot of this comes back to, how do we retrain managers to become leaders? You know, how do we help them build teams that are, you know, built on top of purpose and shared outcomes? Because that's what makes teams more effective, and it actually makes the manager's job easier too, because they're not feeling like they need to stay on top of everybody's every working hour.
Well, remote working isn't going away. In fact, there's probably just going to be more of it in the future, regardless of coronavirus. So based on the findings in your survey, what changes do you think companies should be implementing right now?
Two big ones. First, give people more flexibility. Letting people work from home more often, even when you've got the office back and available to you, giving them shared space when they need it, and giving more flexibility in their hours boosts everything. It makes their work-life balance better, but it also makes their productivity better. It makes their sense of belonging better, too. That's one side. And the other is you need to rethink how you're going to replace that physical office with a digital headquarters. That's where Slack comes in. It's a place where you bring everything together to share information, to understand what the status is of a project without having to call yet another meeting. So those are the two big ones, more flexibility and digital headquarters.
And how can people find out more about Slack, Brian?
Slack.com is a great place to start, S-L-A-C-K.
We will check it out. Brian, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Paul.